we were going to spend the next 30 minutes of talking about my depravity, my sin, that would be an easy thing for me to do. But when we sing songs of the magnitude of who God is, it's difficult. It's difficult for me because I am so jacked up. I'm so unworthy to be on this stage. I'm unworthy to carry His book. And I'm unworthy for Him to call my name. Somebody asked me 2 weeks ago, they said, "Mr. Stout, have you been ordained to bring the Word of God?" I said, "I've not been to seminary, but in 1989, I said yes to Jesus, and that's my ordination today. That is my salvation story. So I'm coming up here for the high priestly duty of telling you all about an all-consuming fire, to tell you all about a Jesus, a King, that deserves worship. He deserves our praise. It's time to wake up, church. I'm sorry. It's time to wake up from your depravity. It's time to wake up from your entitlement. We all carry around entitlement, thinking God owes us something. Let me tell you what Yahweh owes us. We are owed to hang on that cross and die for our sin. We are owed to burn in eternity forever. Cody's going to play that song, and I don't want to manufacture any worship. See, last Sunday, we had a worship service. And the fact of the matter is, one day you will have to worship. One day you will stand before the throne and you will have to worship Yahweh. The beauty of the gift is, He gives you that opportunity today. He gives you that opportunity to say, "God, it's an overflow from my heart from a week that I've had, good or bad." Cody, tune on that. And I don't care where this service goes today if Yahweh's being proclaimed in this place. The altar's open right now. The altar's open right now. If you have crap in your life, come to the altar of God. I was thinking this morning when me and Kevin Wiley met to pray together. I'm like Donald Trump. Wiley's like the Pence. I mean, he's the calm collective. I'm the idiot that yells. And we were talking about the altar of God. It's always open. God's altar's always open. I don't care the way you've lived. His altar's open today. So if you need to be immersed in the presence of God, I know this is a stage, but come to the altar of God before we get in the Word. Cody, play a little bit and we'll get into it.
You are holy.
Welcome to Whitestone. I'm your loudmouth deacon that says stupid things a lot of times, but today I'm here to proclaim God's Word. I'm here to tell you all about who Jesus is. I'm here to talk about the greatness of Yahweh. I want to thank the folks that prayed for me this week. I appreciate the prayers. I mean, this is something that takes a lot for a very deprived person to come up here and do. All right, here's my opening statement. To wear God's armor, you have to be all in for Jesus. You have to put on the full armor of God if you want it to fully function. Problem is, most Christians need rehab because we have been lured back into the world without our armor on. Can you believe that? Like, today might be the day that you go to rehab to allow the Holy Spirit to start the rehabilitation process of you wearing God's armor again. This morning we're going to look at the armor of God. I had a vision this week. I'm going to look at my notes a lot because this is a different sermon for me. Because the previous sermons, I took a lot of scripture and I was able to tell some stories about Natty Light and cigarettes. I ain't got that today, so I just got a lot of notes the Holy Spirit gave me. So I had a vision when I was on the mower Tuesday, and I was thinking about God's armor, and I was thinking, you know, Yahweh, what would be the point of me to wear an armor that's like a spiritual armor? And so I just had this vision of Jesus and God the Father in their tool shed, in their workshop in heaven. They created the universe. They took a break on the seventh day. And the eighth day, Yahweh and Jesus are in the woodshed working. And God's like, you know, son, we got to build an armor that is capable of not allowing the enemy to penetrate you, because our plan is I'm going to send you down as fully man, and you got to have my armor on. And so the Holy Spirit and Yahweh and Jesus started building this armor, and they built a helmet of salvation. They built a belt of truth. They built a breastplate of righteousness. They built a sword, which is the written word of God and the living word of God. And they started making the shoes. And then Yahweh's like, you need the shield of faith. And I just had this vision, like my dad would do to me or I do to my kids. And he looked intently at Jesus and he said, you have to wear this armor. You have to wear this armor every day you're on this earth. From the time you're 0 to the time you're 33, put my armor on, because it's the only way you can fight the enemy. And so, Clark, I was going, okay, if Jesus wore the armor, then why am I not wearing it? I'm a loudmouth, lunatic believer and I don't wear my armor, Clark. I don't wear my helmet of salvation. I don't pick up my shield. I use the sword to cut people down. The breastplate, you don't talk about righteous living. I can do that a little bit. And then I thought about what Jesus did. Not only did they create the armor, not only did he wear the armor, but he perfected it, Clark. He perfected it because he was the first one to test it. See, there would be no reason for me to talk to you all today about an untested armor or talk about an armor that's not worthy to be talked about. But Jesus wore it, Clark, and it's been battle tested, and it's the best armor there is. 2 or 3 weeks ago, Chuck Leslie built me an assault rifle. And I love it. I got to go shoot it. So I went down to Knoxville Tactical and I got me armor piercing bullets. I don't know what I'm going to be shooting, but if you got armor on you walk in my house, I'm going to blow your brains out. Okay, so I like worldly armor, but the Spirit's like, okay, why don't you invest in my armor like you did in that assault rifle? Maybe it's just time to pick up the armor, folks. We're going to look into that today. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Then I'm going to pray us in, and we're going to rock into this. I got to leave early because I'm taking the youth boys to Hooters after church. Just playing. So the guys in the back, I would have went, but we're not. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Hey, Randy, you come read this for us? Randy's one of our elders. I love Randy. Godly man. Godly man, deprived just like me, but loves Jesus. Randy, I'm asking you to read 10 through 20. And then we're going to roll into this thing.
But I'm going to read it. Let me read it. I'm gonna
read it from your Bible.
I'm going to read it from my Bible.
Can you see it? Because you probably got it memorized.
It's a little different, but it's a large print.
All right, large print. Here we go. This is Randy Henderson, my elder.
Mine's going to read a little different.
That's fine.
It's the New King James Version.
Good, I like it.
Finally, my brother, be strong. strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist and your with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
That's right.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Verse 19, for me that under that I and pray for me and all the saints that for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Thank you, Randy. Pray with me. Jesus, I just ask that you just bless the reading of your word. God, I ask right now that you tune us in to the Holy Spirit station that's on right now. God, I ask that people lay their entitlement, they lay their church experience, lay down their reputation aside, and we open up your word and dive in with both feet to what it looks like to wear the armor of Yahweh. God, I know for a fact that Paul is describing the armor that you wore because you revealed that to me. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. For the hearts of these believers. As we were singing that one song in the back, I was just praying, Yahweh, step in the way. Step in the way of me. Step in the way of my antics. Step in the way of my depravity. Step in the way of my hypocriteness. God, step in the way today. Be made known in this house today. That people leave changed. That people leave redeemed. People leave with salvation or people leave with some revival. God, we're here. We're in a rehab place. So you'll teach us and show us how to be more like you. Open up your word. Christ's name I pray. Amen. There's two things we have to do before we look at the six pieces of armor. Number one, the word says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Remember, our strength comes from the Lord and He is mighty. This is our first step. So, for believers, we have to recognize we are weak, He is strong. In our weakness, He's made strong. I'm going to stand on the line of mightiness, and that's Yahweh. I'm going to stand on the line of something that can strengthen me, and that's Yahweh. So Paul says, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of His might. Leave your opinions at the door. Leave your experiences at the door. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Secondly, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the schemes of the devil. Remember I said it earlier, Jesus battle tested the armor. He defeated the enemy. We stand victorious. I had like this vision of two fighters and they were fighting back and forth. It was enemy and Jesus. And Jesus just KOs Satan. And he's like Brock said last week, he's got his foot on the back of his neck. And so for us, this is what you got to grip today. If you don't grip this today, then what else I say doesn't matter. Is that Jesus has won the victory. He's victorious. He's won the battle. And then you say, okay, Jacob, well, what's the point of me fighting every day? Jesus conquered sin and death, but you have not conquered anything. You have conquered absolutely nothing. Jesus gives you the righteousness. Jesus gives you the armor. Jesus gives you the faith. Our role in this war is for us to fight every single day. You can't wait to fight on circumstances. That's my biggest deal, guys, is I wait to throw on some armor when I'm already getting beat up. I wait to ask God, where's my helmet of salvation, God, when the enemy's already attacked? Wear your armor every day. The other thing is, Paul's telling us, he says, stand firm. I got to ask y'all this question. How many times have you ran into the battle against the enemy and you weren't fully equipped? Huh? I mean, how many times have you ran into someone's circumstance, Clark, and you try to speak truth, but you weren't wearing no armor? And so you get in with that person and you speak truth in their life with full condemnation and the opinion of yourself. And it just, the stuff hits the fan. Yahweh says, stand firm. Stay still. In the strength of my might, I will do your fighting for you. Just put the armor on. I carry a Glock. This is the first Sunday that I'm not carrying my Glock 45. And I'm not trying to say that to be funny, oh, cool dude with the gun. But I'm just explaining to you that I got a gun carrying permit and I carry my Glock to protect my family and to protect others. Either you're going to be a wolf or a sheep. Okay? I'm going to be the sheep dog. And when that wolf comes into this place, he's going to get shot in the head. That's my mentality. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. That's what I carry. And so I can carry a gun, Chuck, and I can clean my gun. I can walk around with my gun. But if I don't shoot my gun, Chuck, it is of no use. So when that moment happens and I try to defend my family, I'm going to probably shoot Kaiser in the head because I don't know how to use my gun. It's the exact same thing with God's armor. God's armor is there for us to fully equip ourselves with every day. So we use it every single day. If you're not wearing His armor, you're not in the game. If you're not wearing His armor, you're already being defeated. And if you're not wearing His armor, then how can you call yourself a follower of Jesus if you're not wearing God's armor? This was a tough sermon for me to get together because I don't wear His armor, Randy. I don't wear it. I wear the shoes sometimes. I'll serve when I need to. I have my shield of faith up when someone asks me about my adoption process that we've been in for 5 years and it's not moving. I'll throw the shield up sometimes. We know how to use the armor. I've been a Christian for how many years, Randy? It's pathetic. But I'm not ashamed because I know God's able to change that in me, Randy. And I can admit that at 33 years old that I'm a Christian and I don't have it all together. Maybe today you need to come in here and admit you ain't got it together. Let's look at the 6 points on the armor. What's the first one Paul talks about? It's the belt of truth. If you think about the Roman times, they wore a belt. The belt kind of keeps everything in. It's the sleeve part for your sword. If you were an archman, you had the sleeve for the arrows. The belt is secure. But Jesus is talking about a belt of truth. The belt of truth is our anchor. We have to be fastened down to the truth of who God is, was, and is to come. We have to daily counter to the enemy with the truth of Jesus. We have to believe more of the truth of God when He talks about us than what the enemy says. And Jesus is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In our daily fight, we have to hold on to God's truth. You're saying, okay, little preacher boy, give me an example. God's redeemed me from some things. Y'all have heard it so many times, it's getting old. When the enemy attacks me to go back to that sin, I go to God's truth, Mike. I got the belt on. No, I'm going to live out a redeemed life because it speaks more truth about God. Have you ever thought about that, folks? When you live out your redemption, you're showing the world the truth about Jesus. You're not showing the world the truth about yourself and what you can conquer, but you're saying, no, there's a God that loves me, and it's my right to live in a way that I hold on to His truths. Moving on, second point if you're a note taker. Is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate guards the temple of God. Because as Christians, our heart becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That is why righteous living is so important. It guards your heart from being infiltrated by the enemy through lies and attacks. For freedom, Christ set us free to live holy and righteous lives. Your righteousness can only come from Jesus. Maybe it's time for you to take your temple again. There's two areas in a fight. I mean, you can get all like analytical mind thinking with me, but if you get shot in the head or the heart, you're pretty much dead. Clark, you know, you get shot in the head. And so I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, what's the point of righteous living? Because if you go to church, if you're raised in a church home, if you think about church people, you get like this persona or you start walking around with a persona that you're more righteous and holy than the sinners. Like we've labeled, the church is labeled church people and sinners. And the whole time I'm going, sinners and sinners. I'm looking at salvation in Jesus and not salvation in Jesus. Grace covered, not covered in the grace yet. And so the point of righteous living, if the Bible talks about our heart, our spirit becomes the dwelling place of Yahweh. Do y'all know that? Does anybody know that in here? In Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. Your heart, your body, your mind, a lot of things is led by your heart. Like your desires, like the things that get you excited, it all comes in here. For athletes, for football players, for basketball players, for baseball players, the true, hardworking athletes, they just got like a heart condition to where they just push where there's no limit. And so the Holy Spirit was like, you know what, Jacob? One, your temple is covered in the enemy. Your temple, you've left the door open because you're not righteously living. That's the importance of righteously living. It's not supposed to make you better. It's supposed to guard the temple of Yahweh. Spiritual realm, Clark. This is not a physical fight. This is the spiritual realm. You know, some people say, well, as believers, we just can't have fun no more. As believers, then we just walk around and say, yes, sir, and no, sir, and no, ma'am. No, it's freedom to live in a way that you show others that Jesus redeemed you. And it's your self-conviction. Don't Bible thump me with some stuff you grew up with and come up here and say, hey, you had a hat on and you got tattoos and you're loud. Don't thump me with something you don't know what you're talking about. Your self-conviction is from the Holy Spirit. If God tells you put the drink down, put it down. If the Holy Spirit tells you quit talking to the girl at work because it's not right, then don't do it, Clark, you know. Righteous living guards the temple of Yahweh. Third point, Clark. Shoes for our feet. We have to be at peace with God before we proclaim it. And before, I'm serious, I'm rolling. We're about to be done here in a minute. Peace for your shoes. It talks about God equipping us with feet. I mean, with shoes for our feet. That's equipping us with the ability to go spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all agree with me on that? Because the only gospel, the only name that we shall be proclaiming is Yahweh. But you have to be at peace with God. And you're asking me, what do you mean you have to be at peace with God? I have to recognize in me proclaiming God's name, it comes from such a better place through humility and brokenness and allowing these people to see my depravity when I tell them about Yahweh. Nobody wants to hear of some white glove wearing believer that acts like they've got it all together and you walk up to someone that's truly struggling. It's the biggest turnoff. It's the biggest turnoff to meet Christian people that are arrogant and that are entitled and that they got it all together. I'm not saying we celebrate depravity. I'm not saying we celebrate our sin. All I'm saying is you celebrate Jesus. You humbly approach proclaiming His name. So the hardest question that I'm going to ask you today, in your past week, did you tell anybody about Jesus? Did you proclaim the name of Jesus to anyone? I didn't. I didn't proclaim Randy. There was moments that I had at the gas station this week, Randy, I walked away from it. There was moments I had at Ingles, I walked away from it. There was moments working that I walked away from it. I should be equipped every day to just proclaim His name. Fourth piece of armor is a shield of faith. In all circumstances, take up your shield. Our shield not only shields us, it extinguishes the flaming darts of the enemy. Our entire journey is based on faith. We have to believe the faith that God gives us. The church needs more faith and less religion. We need some faith, folks. We need to have a shield of faith, Randy, that when we say that mountain's going to move, it's going to move. We need to have a church when we bring people to the altar and pray before Yahweh. We have a faith that He is capable of changing things. I need to have a faith, if it don't go my way, Randy, that God is still God. He is still God. He is still Yahweh. He's still my Redeemer. If I'm sick and He doesn't heal me, He still is God. That's why we believe without sight, Randy. It's a shield of faith. Not only does the shield of faith shield us from the enemy, man, it protects us, Clark. Like, it protects us. I never thought about that. I never thought about God's shield extinguishing the crap that the enemy throws at you. Throw your faith up. When the enemy says, you're no good, Clark, shield of faith. I got faith in Jesus Christ. Didn't He conquer you? Didn't He defeat you and your demons? You just got a little time left, Satan. It all boils down to faith. It all boils down to faith in who Jesus was, is, and is to come. It's in faith knowing that you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. It's by faith that you know without a shadow of a doubt when God asks you to move, you move. It's with faith when He asks you to minister to people, you go and do it. If your shield of faith ain't up, then you're going to get ripped up. You're going to get messed up by the enemy. And I can attest to that if my shield of faith's not up. Fifth point. The helmet of salvation. I believe with the helmet of salvation, this is the main area that the enemy attacks. I'll give you an example. When I were in, a lot of y'all don't know me and I don't care, and that's fine. I hate repeating my story because it's so stupid. But when I worked at UPS, I was working two jobs. I did that for 5 years, okay? Me and Lauren, if you haven't seen my wife, man, she asked me not to say anything, but I can't but not speak of our beautiful bride. So about 08-ish, Lauren comes to me and she says, you're going to have to quit the alcohol and you're going to have to quit UPS. One or the other's got to change. Something has to change. And I remember the enemy, how he would attack my mind when it come to alcohol. How he would attack my mind when it come to me going to a substance instead of him. And that's what it is, Clark. It's you going to something instead of Jesus. You allowing a substance. I don't care. I've dipped for 25 years. It don't matter what that substance is. If you put that substance before Yahweh, then you ain't got your helmet on, Clark. And so I remember through that time, I would fake it with Lauren. Yeah, I quit. I quit, and the weekend would come, and I'd get drunk, and then I start my week again. And my anger kept rising up, and finally Lauren goes, if you don't put it down, I'm walking out. So I woke up. I woke up. It wasn't necessarily a God move, but I didn't want to use my smoke. I didn't want to lose my smoking hot wife. And so, but the helmet of salvation for me of late, especially for the past 6 months, it just reminds me. It reminds me, Randy, that within my depravity and within my sin, God ain't giving up on me. Like, God's not gave up on Jacob Stout. That's why I got so much energy. That's why I get so excited when I get up here to talk about Jesus, because He saved me from everything, Randy. He gives me eternal salvation. I do nothing to gain His approval. I do nothing to gain His love. This is, it just frustrates me why people don't choose Jesus. 3 weeks ago in our men's Bible study, I brought a lesson on, at the end of your day, just choose Jesus, T-Bone. Just choose Him. In your circumstance, Clark, choose Jesus. Just choose Him. God, He's worthy of it. And we deserve nothing. But, you know, we live in a way on this earth that eternity don't matter. We live in a way on this earth that this life isn't a vapor until something major happens in your life, until you get a sickness, is when your eyes are open for eternity. So why not live this life out for Jesus? You only get one life. Randy, you only get one chance at this to proclaim God's name. Do you think I care about the critics, Rod? Do you think I care? Because I'm going to proclaim God's name. I'm going to tell people who Jesus is. And that's the role as a believer. You don't put your helmet on and just tell others who Jesus is. Well, I got a lot of sin in my life, Jacob. I got a lot of depravity. And I've been through some really serious things. And nobody cares. Nobody cares when God's speaking, Randy. You ain't got to convince nobody. I finally figured that out, Rod. Jesus does the convincing. But I would try to convince people and Bible thump people. He does the speaking. He does the convincing. It's just your job to throw a seed out and allow Him to water it. Put your helmet on, Whitestone Church. Put it on. Man. Sixth and final piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have the written Word of God. You have the Bible, which is the written Word of God. Then you have the physical Word of God, which is Jesus. If you need to understand that part of what I'm saying, you can go to John chapter 1, and the Bible explains it to you. You can only fight this spiritual realm with God's Word and with prayer. That's the only way you fight, Randy. That's the only way you can fight back to the enemy, because listen here. Listen. When you fight with yourself, when you fight with your self-worth, when you fight with your opinions, you're fighting the enemy with the enemy. Because that is just junk stuff that you're throwing back up to him. But when you read God's Word, when you pray back humbly with an expectation that God is going to change your circumstance by prayer and reading His Word, that's when you're fighting in the game, Clark. If you're not in the Word, Randy, you ain't even got a chance. If you're not praying, you might as well just end it right now. You might as well be like Mel Gibson on Braveheart and just ride right square in the middle and get blown up. I do it all the time. I walk into my day and I wonder why my week's been so crappy is because I've not had my sword in my hand and I've not prayed to God with an expectation. It's time to fight, folks. If you're one of those Eeyore quiet people, that's fine. Because I like quiet people, because in our house, my wife has to be quiet because I'm yelling the whole time. That doesn't mean that you bring that timidness to the kingdom of God. Because if you're a quiet person, you have timidness, when you got your sword in your hand, you got your helmet on, and you're fully strapped in the armor of Yahweh, then you're a warrior. You're a Navy SEAL for the kingdom. I don't care about your personality. I care about the armor you're putting on. Young, small, tall, big, old. When you put that armor on, you're a warrior for Yahweh. A warrior ready to fight. But you know, the church has misused the sword. The church has just took the sword. And I'm not necessarily talking about my church. When I have an opinion about Whitestone Church, it's biased. Because I love this body. I love what God does in this place. So if you ask me my opinion of this church, most of it's going to be good. Probably 95% of it. But I will tell you the things we don't do right. And a lot of that's me. But the church, for people that have, there's been so many people that have just been burned and hurt by going to church because a pastor had the audacity to stand up here with no humility and try to explain to them what something happened, and he tried to make his own opinion matter. Listen, if those pastors aren't carrying their swords in other churches, it don't matter what they're saying. Let's be a people, but hear me out. Let's be a people, Clark, that speaks truth to people with love. There's a huge difference of me speaking love to someone through God's Word instead of me bringing my judgments and opinion on. This world don't need any more church people, egos, and opinions. They need the truth of God speaking with love. And be man enough or woman enough to step up to your friends and tell them what's wrong in their life. But be ready for them to tell you what's wrong in your life. It's a two-way street. If you're not speaking truth with love to other people, then you're not in the game either. I'm going to close with this. I was trying to think of a story in the Bible when I could just remember where, besides Jesus, I mean, good night. I mean, He wore His armor through all Gospels. He wore His armor from Genesis through Revelations, obviously. But I was trying to think of an example. What character of the Bible and what story do I know where I believe they wore God's armor? And it's David and Goliath. We don't have the time to read the 56 verses, Clark. When David defeated Goliath, Randy, David was taking food to his brothers. There's a big fight going on. And all day long, for how many 40 days, Randy? Your boy Goliath, that was 9'6", would walk out. And he would stand. And for why they allowed this to go on, it still blows my mind, but only God can tell a story like this, Randy. Goliath would walk out, and he would defy the army of the living God. He would basically say, I'm paraphrasing, hey, your God's nothing. I ain't worried about Him. You can't defeat me, then you can't defeat anything. So Israel, for like 40-something days, cowered back because nobody had a humanly stature or nobody had a weapon big enough to kill Goliath. So what did David do? David tend sheep. David was going to take cheese and bread to his brothers. David's walking up to take his food to his brothers. Hey, bro, how you doing, man? Goliath walks up. Goliath starts running that mouth. David hears what he's got to say, Randy. David got offended. You know why David got offended, Randy? David already had the armor on. So David goes, what did he say? Clark, what did he say? He's talking about Yahweh? Yeah, man, but man, he's 9'6", man. You know what I mean? He's a big old dude. And David's going, dude, I've killed lions and bears. I'm going to fight this Goliath. So David goes up to Saul. And King Saul's like, oh, we got a guy that's going to fight Goliath. He's 4'1". Handsome looking guy, but he's 4'1". He's going to fight Goliath. Now here's the coolest part of this story. Saul was a godly man in ways, Randy. Saul was putting all of his chips in on David. Because if you know what the story says if the Philistines defeated Israel, then everything went to the Philistines. So when I read that, I was like, Saul went all in with little David. So Saul's like, okay, David, come put my armor on. And so David walks over there, and Paul, and I was just picturing Kaiser, my 8-year-old. I was putting my jeans on him, you know, like they're hanging down, and we were putting a costume on him, and everything's just so much bigger. So here's what David says. And David put it on, but he couldn't go. In vain, David tried to move around, Randy, like he was like, I can't wear this. Listen what he says. I cannot go with this armor because I haven't tested it yet. Listen to me, folks. If you've not tested God's armor, stay still, stand firm, test it. That's when you move. That's when you go into battle. Because listen, David said, I cannot go with this armor because I haven't tested this. David knew a man-made armor was not going to defeat Goliath. For you, Whitestone Church, today, you got to believe and know your man-made armor will never defeat the enemy. But God's armor and His might and His strength will defeat the enemy that is ripping your life apart. The enemy is ripping your marriage apart. The enemy is ripping relationships apart. The enemy is trying to rip churches apart. And if you're not aware of that, then you need to wake up and tune your ears in. The enemy wants to do everything possible to ruin your life. That's why righteous living is for your good. That's why wearing your helmet of salvation is for your good. That's why proclaiming the name of Jesus is for our good. True followers of Christ, in my eyes, Randy, are heroes. They're not wimpy church people that wear skirts and bonnets and go to VBS. They're warriors for the kingdom of God. You want to be a warrior on this earth, Clark? You pick up God's word. You put on His armor. That's when because listen, folks, the older you get, the more you respect godly men and women. Because listen, high school boys, they're about to go into college, and I'm looking at you all. I live that life. I ran from God for a long time, guys, and you'll get nowhere. Listen to your parents. They know what they're talking about because it's for your good. Adults that are in their 30s or 40s and you're running away from God, you're whoring around in a lifestyle away from God, it's not good. The church of the living God, if we lived in a way where we wore our armor and knew that God would defeat the battles, then God's kingdom would advance even faster than what it does now, Clark. Stop trying to wear your armor or some other believer's armor to have to go into battle with God's armor. You have to practice using God's armor. I just said that. How can we be protected by God's armor if we don't even pick it up? My answer to you is it cannot. Okay, you're like, hey, church boy, you explain this armor deal, but guess what? It's your job right now when you go home today and the rest of your life to pick up the armor of God. I've presented it, and I'm going to try to start picking mine back up again. Or even start picking it up again. How can we be familiar with the effectiveness of God's armor, Randy, if we don't even use it? And that's been the hard... This message has been so simple, but it's so hard, Randy, because it causes me to do something. When you ask a believer to actually step out and do something and step away from himself, that's when it gets hard. Anybody can come to church on Sunday. Anybody can go to a small group. Anybody can lead the band. Anybody can do those things. When it comes down to you putting your armor on, regardless of your circumstance and believing God is victorious, man, maybe it's time you knock the dust off the armor that has been sitting unused in the temple of the living God. Pray with me. Father God, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And God, my prayer is today is that they didn't hear any condemnation. I wasn't trying to get up here and tell them about them being terrible people, tell them they're not doing these things. It was just like a battle cry for the church to hear that it's time for Whitestone Church to put on the armor of the living God. God, You're the greatest thing that I've ever experienced in my entire life. Besides drugs and alcohol and all those other crazy things, I've never experienced true joy unless when I'm walking with You. God, I pray for an encounter with You right now for these people, that You would step in the way of their mind right now, that You would bind Satan and his demons with Your presence in this place right now. Holy Spirit, You're welcome here. Come flood this gate and fill this atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what my heart longs for and what my heart longs for these people in this place. God, let us just be changed people. Let us tell Your story out of our depravity and wear our helmets, pick up our sword, pray without ceasing, put on our breastplate of righteousness, strap on the belt, pick up the shield of faith. Speak to us, God. You are worthy. God, I pray for the people that God, I pray for the people that are angry at You right now. God, that they would just lean in and see Your arms are wide open. Your loving, unconditional arms. Your altar is open for them right now. Folks, it's time for us to bear a cross and wait on the crown that we're going to receive. This altar's open, guys. I'm going to ask Randy and Rod to stand down here. If you need prayer, it's available. I'll be in the back, passed out probably.